Ishirada go kulananda kijai. Translation: from the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Please repeat. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in activities of sense gratification. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8.274, it is said, Stavara jangamam deke deke taramurti sarvatra hayanija ishtvas purti. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in the material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavat sees Krishna everywhere because of his pure love for Krishna. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena saksadaiva hridayesh lokayanti yam shayama sundaram achintya gurna swarupam govindam adipurusham tang bhajami. I worship the primeval Govinda, who is always by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with pulp of love. He is seen as the eternal form of shayama sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee, or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, being fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, Ketu, he cannot mention in any perspective activity. It is just the opposite, way. Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not go to the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is kind of a Mahabhagavat. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, a Mahabhagavat sees him, he also engages in his service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similar to a Mahabhagavat, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prahlad Maharaj is the Pupa Mahabhagavat, supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it is stated that he had a natural attachment, Naisargikai Rati. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Virakta Anyatra Cha. The symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is possible. But Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness. Just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in the thought of material pain, a Mahabhagavat like Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Nashta Krida, that's the verse again. Nashta Kridayako Bahu Adavatan Manasta Krishna Graha Grihitatma Neveda Jagari Drisham. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he kept altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Namo Vishnu Vraya Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Saradeve Gauravani Vrti Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarna. Here the example of Maharaj being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is given. So much so that he was under the influence of the planetary system. This is interesting for us because we can see, anyone who's studied or astrology or has some contact with astrologers can see that most of us are actually influenced to some degree by the, apparently influenced by the material planetary systems. And even if we look at Krishna's astrological chart, we can see it's just not an ordinary astrological chart. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his grandfather Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, had understood when Lord Chaitanya was going to take birth by looking through the astrological charts and figuring out which chart he would take birth under, which planetary arrangement. So that way he understood when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would make his appearance. So obviously, one way or another, there is some at least indication by the planetary systems what our activities are. If Krishna himself is indicated by the planet, speak of ourselves. But the question is how we're influenced by the planets. First of all, even if we don't accept the fact that we're influenced by the planets, we can see that we're influenced by our mind. We may not see the stars, how they're directly influencing us, but we can hear our mind. We can hear our minds talking to us. And they talk to us in different shades, not only as thoughts, but as feelings. And then we can also watch how our body manifests by our will. So we see the activity of thinking, we hear our mind thinking, we can feel ourselves thinking, and we can see how we're willing by our activities. Or we can also, we're conscious of our willing. Now where this comes from, whether it comes from the planets or not, in other words, even in astrology there's some discussion whether or not the planets are directly influencing us, or they're simply indicating what the energy of the world, how they're indicating, how they're influencing us. But from our personal observation, or anyone's observation, we can see just like when the moon is full, how it influences the water. The tides, for instance. Big oceans are influenced by the position of the moon. So what does it give us? We're supposed to be 70% water. So obviously the moon's going to influence the water body too. And the water in our body, or the moon, is said to also influence our mind. It influences our mind because our mind is connected with our physical state also. As our physical state changes to some degree, unless we're a highly advanced devotee under the influence of the internal energy, then our mental state changes. As our mental state changes, so our physical state changes. Just like when the moon is full, they say people become loony. Lunatics, they call them. That's the time all the werewolves start to cry out. If you haven't heard them, it's all right. In any case, there is influence of the stars, whether we're conscious of it or not, but even more conscious or more immediate is our mind. Now, just like bees, they gather pollen, and from pollen they make honey, and the honey is according to different varieties of pollen that are gathered. Just like the bees gather pollen from a certain type of plant, like alfalfa plants, then the result is that the honey will have a taste of alfalfa honey and also have the medicinal properties of alfalfa. Similarly, our activities in this material world, physically, mentally, intellectually, they are like little bits of pollen that accumulate, and they come together in some future time by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and we experience it as the result of our karma, our immediate situation. Now, we ourselves cannot change our immediate situation any more than we, the soul right now, could walk out of our body, that we're in a material circumstance. But we have influence under these circumstances. Just like the materialists, they think that there's a certain philosophical understanding by some materialists, at least, that the soul doesn't really have any free will. He's just like a dog who's been conditioned by a certain environment. Dr. Powell, he ran some experiments that he'd ring a bell and he'd offer some dog some food. And every time he rang the bell, the food would be given to the dog and the dogs would begin to solve it. But after some time, he'd simply ring the bell, and even without giving the food, the dogs would produce saliva. So this is called, there's stimuli, namely the bell, and then there is a reflex producing saliva. So this is called conditioned reflex. Fortunately, we don't have to be like dogs if we have the proper training. In other words, when we hear a bell, if we have enough intelligence, we'll understand that maybe, maybe not, food will be produced, and we won't get overly excited about the bell. Similarly, in our immediate environment, we're influenced by our past karma. We can help that to a certain extent. Influence in this way. The body and the mind will automatically produce a type of environment within ourselves, certain thoughts, for instance. Even without our desiring or willing or whatever, they just automatically arises. Now, how we see those thoughts will depend upon our intelligence. Intelligence doesn't mean how to manipulate the material energy, how to see the opportunities. That's material intelligence under the three modes. A person may walk into a forest, and when he sees the forest, he immediately looks around in the mode of ignorance to find a suitable place to go to sleep. So that's also intelligence, taking advantage of the environment, but that's in the mode of ignorance. A person in the mode of passion, he'll try to figure out how he could buy the forest, cut down all the trees, and make a profit. A person in the mode of goodness will go to all the flowers in the forest, and he'll smell the flowers and figure out which of the plants he could eat if he had to. So goodness, passion, and ignorance, they're reactions to an environment that people will know automatically have according to the modes of nature they're situated under. And a devotee, he'll chant Hare Krishna. Now, we've come to the Hare Krishna movement, not necessarily like Prahlad Maharaj as Nitya Siddhas. And therefore, under different circumstances, we're going to have different reactions. We shouldn't be surprised if a young boy looks at a young girl and suddenly he thinks of material enjoyment, or a young girl looks at a young boy, thinks of something. But by the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, then our reaction should be a little different. Not that, wow, that's a good idea. Just I've given the example, a man's walking down the street and he sees an attractive woman, and immediately the mind says, and the senses start becoming agitated and say, go get her. And the intelligence takes a glance and says, well, wait a second, she has a dot on her forehead, she might be married, therefore you should be cautious, because there's a man standing next to her. But the mind senses say, oh, I've heard that before. You know, we read that in some ancient book that no one listens to anymore. Some antiquated book. That there's a new philosophy. If it feels good, then you do it. Because you only live for once, and you might as well take advantage of the circumstances. So the intelligence, if it's not very strong, it can't give very good arguments to the soul, and the soul doesn't have very much experience, it may decide, yes, I'd rather serve the mind and senses than to take advantage of the directions of the intelligence. And therefore it decides that let me serve the mind and senses, and it orders the intelligence, it becomes subservient to the mind and senses, and think of a plan how to meet that woman. So the intelligence says, write her a letter, tell her she's beautiful. She's the most beautiful person you've seen in the last 2 weeks. You're madly in love with her, you'll give her everything, that she should meet you in such and such place at such and such time. You'll give her the sun, you'll give her the moon, and if she's very nice to you, you'll throw in a few stars. And then the intelligence says, but don't sign the letter, because her husband next to her, he's twice as big as you are. So in this way, the intelligence becomes a instrument for the mind and senses, a servant of the mind and senses for sense gratification. But that same intelligence, when it decides to act in Krishna consciousness, then it says to the mind intelligence, think of a plan how to preach to her. Go up to her and her husband, and try to sell them a book. Same circumstance, same mind intelligence, but the intelligence overrides the mind and the senses and tells the mind and senses to engage in Krishna service rather than sense gratification. We may not be able to stop the waves of material desire from entering, just like it says, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya kama shrayam grahitam ugritayanti shanta tavanarikta matiyo yatayo piruda shutoganas tamarunam bhaja vasudeva. This is the Prachetas praying that yat pada pankaja vilasa that yat pada pankaja vilasa yat pada pankaja vilasa vilasya bhaktya, that if one worships the lotus feet of Krishna, if one's mind is absorbed in that way, then by the influence of Krishna, then this hard knot of material desire becomes slashed. On the other hand, even great yogis and ascetics who are endeavoring with great determination to control the mind and senses, sometimes by the very strong force of material desire, they become overwhelmed. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness. So what's the secret? How to come under the influence of the Krishna Graha? How not to become disturbed by the mental and physical impulses arising out of our association with the modes of material nature? Well, for one thing, it is that Krishna recommends, when he was asked by Arjuna how to overcome the strong mind, because it's the mind's false ego that encourages us to lord it over the material nature for sense gratification. Just like in modern society, people are not trained up in religious principles, even the most elementary religious principle, such as matrivat paradareshu, paradwareshu lostravat, atmavat sarabhuteshu, yakpashitisa panditaha. Chanaka Pandit says, one should learn how to see every woman except for one's wife to be just like one's mother. But my society trains people, or conversely, how to see every man except for one's husband to be just like one's son. But modern society is training people how to see every woman, including one's mother, to just be like one's wife. And how to see everyone else's property to be just like garbage in the street. But everyone is interested even in getting garbage from everyone else. Because in New York, for instance, you can go around and pick up the garbage, get the bottles and the containers out of it, and make a good living for yourself. So people are even interested in stealing the garbage from others. What to speak of ordinary things. And to see everyone else be just like one's very self, well, one is interested in simply how to exploit others. That's how one is trained. If one can't exploit others, one is considered that they're useless. What is the value? I can't exploit you. You're useless. Therefore, modern society is misdirecting people, so that they don't even come to the human form of life, the human platform of consciousness. Therefore, civilization is necessary. When Gandhi came here, he was asked, "What do you think of English civilization?" And he said, "I think it would be a good idea." So how to become civilized? Of course, that takes some training. Unfortunately, people are not trained up. We've been trained up the wrong way. Therefore, Krishna says, "Asam sham mahabaho manodurgunadurnurgraham chalam abhyasena tukunteya vairagena chagriyate." Yes, it is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. And here it says, vyakta anya, bhakti vir, is that the right one? Virakta anya, virakta, what's the first, what's that? Yeah, I'm thinking of a different one though. What's the symptoms of bhava? Shantira vyakta kala tvam, that's it. Shantira vyakta kala tvam, virakta anya, manya shunyataha, ashabanda samudkanta, Namagana Siddharuchi. Therefore, this virakti, what does it mean? Practically for us, it means how to chant Hare Krishna and simply listen. We may think, oh, that's too simple. Matter of fact, that's what we usually think. Oh, there's simple instruction. We're interested in the simple instruction. We want something more complicated. How to think of Radha Krishna's pastimes from chanting or something like that. The simple, you know, I've been chanting for so long, it's about time I, you know, became ecstatic by my own desire, by my own will. I've been waiting too long to Krishna reciprocate. He's a little slow. Maybe he has too many, he's in too many hearts. He can't keep it together. So since he's so slow to reciprocate, I've decided that I must think of Radha and Krishna's pastimes by my own endeavor, and break into the material spiritual world by my desire. Good luck. I mean, there are people who do that. They may imagine the fact that they're actually with Radha and Krishna. They may even remember Radha and Krishna. They may even roll over the ground a few times. It's good exercise. But they're not really with Radha and Krishna. They're with their own imaginations. Just like Kamsa, he was also remembering Krishna all the time to such a degree that everywhere he looked, he only saw Krishna. Even his wives came up to him one day and immediately took out his sword and said, "You're dead, Krishna and Balaram." And they said, "Wait a second, Kamsa. You're a little bit, you know, put on your glasses. We're not Krishna and Balaram. We're your wives." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." So that's absorption, but it's not devotional service. It's not ecstatic love for Krishna. So we want to get love for Krishna, then we have to become submissive. And what is that submissive? We're already submissive. We're submissive to our minds. Whatever our mind tells us, we take very seriously. So we have to become viraktir. We have to become unattached to our minds and attached to Krishna. And for the practical thing, it means to chant Hare Krishna and simply to try to listen. at least to listen to ourselves. Of course, we should hear ourselves chanting sincerely to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in their loving service. And their loving service is not something horrible. So if we're in the mood of the material existence, where everything is more or less ghastly rasa, then we're going to some degree, we're going to cry out to Radha and Krishna in that mood of ghastly rasa. Oh, Krishna, Radha, I'm suffering, help me. So we'll be absorbed and they'll help us by try to remind us, Ma Suchaha, don't worry, it's not, you know, it's only illusion. Don't try to change your material existence from one state to the next. Try to come to the spiritual existence. Or at least Krishna will give us the intelligence. Don't keep on hitting yourself over the head. Stop breaking the regular principles. Stop following your senses, and you won't be distressed. Not that Krishna says, all right, I'll allow you to follow your mind and senses, and I'll take away all the distress from you. That will not be possible. No, Krishna will try to help us by giving us the intelligence how to stop sinful activity. If we don't listen to him, then what can he do? We may run up to a tree, grab the tree, and demand that the tree let us go. And so we may walk up to us and say, well, you know, complain. Free me from the tree. And the person says, well, I have a good idea for you. Well, why don't you just let the tree go? And you go, well, no, I want some solution to my problem. That's too simple. I heard that from so many people. Everyone who walks by asks them how to stop this horrible embrace of the tree. And they keep on telling me the same thing. I want something more interesting. Similarly, if we simply pay attention to the holy name and we chant it sincerely so we have something to pay attention to, then the result is we'll find out that the material nature really wasn't holding on to us as much as we're holding on to the material nature. Then, when the clouds of material desire gradually go away by our paying attention to Krishna, because Krishna is just like the sun, so we pay attention to Krishna, then we become more under the influence of Krishna. Daivi Prakriti Ashitya. Under the Daivi Prakriti. The internal energy of Krishna. And the result is, it says, Yataidam so samridoganir basmatsat kuru terajana. Ganagni sarvakarmani basmatsat kuru te tata. Just like the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so the fire of Krishna consciousness burns to ashes all the reactions to our previous activities. So the result is that under the influence of Krishna, our materialistic thoughts, they become burnt up, just like the fire burns up wood. Because we become actually under the pleasure potency of Krishna, and therefore one who's actually under the pleasure potency of Krishna, why would he want something that's simply an illusion, only promising pleasure? Material nature means is only promising pleasure. Here, come and enjoy, and then suffer. Just like I've given the example, you go fishing, you have the bait, the reel, the rod, the tackle, and you throw the hook and the bait into the water, and then the fishes are fighting with each other, trying to get the bait. Finally, one big macho fish kicks all the other fish out of the way, gets the bait. I got it. I'm enjoying. He gets the hook. The fisherman reels him up, puts him in his hand with his loving embrace and cuts him open, throws out his insides and throws him on the pan, and he gets fried. So he thought, now I'm going to enjoy. But he winds up fried. So that's material nature. Promising, come and enjoy. But at the end, one simply gets fried. But if one actually has the real enjoyment that they're looking for, even to the smallest degree, one's, as it says for a second-class devotee, Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, then the path of Krishna consciousness becomes clear and encouraging. If one simply stops, listens to Krishna, becomes undisturbed by the thoughts of the future happiness that Maya is proposing, or the future, the ways of avoiding future difficulty, or lamenting how we tried to avoid difficulty in the past and we couldn't do it, or lament how I lost the happiness I once had. So when we stop hankering and lamentation, become aloof from it, and listen to the holy name, then Krishna Dadami Buddhyogam Tam, he gives us the intelligence by which we can feel Krishna's presence in the holy name. And that becomes pleasurable. And then one becomes gradually disinterested in taking shelter of the material thoughts that are arising under different circumstances. Of course, sitting in the temple, it will be relatively more easy than if one is on the street and a truck is about to run one over. Then the force and the material desires when the truck is just about to hit one may be a little bit more greater. But if we, under the best circumstances possible, if we don't take advantage of it, that's very unfortunate to not be disturbed by our minds, remain aloof from them, and try to concentrate on chanting very nicely and then listening very attentively. Then we gradually become under the influence of the Krishna Graha by becoming conscious of Krishna. There's no easier method, and there's no other method recommended in this age of Kali. Otherwise, one may try so many other methods, but it is Shravam Evahi Kevalam, because ultimately all methods of actual progress are dependent upon becoming conscious of Krishna. That doesn't mean that suddenly our material life will become free from all problems. Material life means problems. If we think we become free from material problems, then we're simply an illusion. Prabhupada once was asked, what is the happiness of one in the mode of goodness? So Prabhupada said, if one thinks he's happy in the mode of goodness, then he's not in goodness, he's in ignorance. There is no happiness, actually, in the material world. Even Brahma, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avartanojana, Mamupeti Tukonteya Punarjanmanavidyate. Even Brahma, on the highest planet, the most pious living entity, he has his problems periodically. Some hurricane came, tried to blow him off the lotus flower. He created some suns, they immediately attacked him. So if he has problems, what can we expect? On the other hand, if we become Krishna conscious, factually under the internal energy, then these problems won't be very much concern to us. When Haridasa Thakur and Lord Nityananda went to preach to Jagai Madhai, they chased after them, trying to kill them. So if God himself is put under difficult circumstances, what can we think of? Of course, they ran away, and their attitude is that they joked with each other as they were running away from Jagai Madhai, complaining about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Hasya Rasa. Haridasa Thakura said, told Lord Nityananda that, you know, just see, you told us to go and preach to those two drunks because you're a madman and a drunk like they are. But just see what I've, because of my association with you and that Lord Chaitanya who told us to do it, see, we've been put into so much difficulty. Now we're going to be finished. So Lord Nityananda told Haridasa, don't blame me, it's that madman, Gaurachandra. He's go around telling everyone to do these things. So if you want to complain, complain about him. But they were in the mood of joking rasa. They weren't actually undisturbed by their circumstances. They were in ecstasy. So it is not that we can think that our lives are going to become completely smooth. Every time I want, you know, a lemonade, immediately someone will come on running to give it to me because I wanted it. All my enemies will disappear. They'll walk down the street. The earth will open up to take care of them. I'm chanting the holy name nicely. That's not the way the world works. But we won't become disturbed. We'll see things properly. And therefore, everywhere we'll look, what is that said? Purnam, Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate. Everywhere we'll look, we'll simply see happiness. Vidhi Mahendradis Chakidayate. And we'll see all living entities as Krishna's servants. And we'll think of how to help them become Krishna's, make progress in devotional service, rather as competitors for some material asset. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. At least it says in one place he's a partial Nityasiddha devotee. So, of course, he heard from in the womb of his mother, from Narada Muni, all of the science of Krishna consciousness. Oh, I think it was another form of the Lord. He had heard from Narada Muni, speaking to his, Narada Muni was speaking to his mother. So, which exactly? The form of Krishna, Krishna was talking about, more likely it was some other form than Krishna, Krishna's pastimes. Lord Maharaj is not in Madhurya Rasa, or even one of those rasas. He's generally in the mood of servitorship, the just pure servitorship, not in the Goloka mood. Krishna. The verse, Krishna Graha, so Krishna includes all his forms. Whatever form he's meditating on, that's also Krishna. Just like John the Judge, or Your Honor the Judge, is also John in his home. It's the same person. So one place they call him Your Honor the Judge, the other place they call him John, his family members. It's the same person. So at home they can talk about how he was the judge. He may talk about his work and how he's the judge. So whether he was meditating on the Krishna Graha, Prahlad Maharaj is specifically meditating on the form of Krishna, the form of Narayan, it doesn't really make any difference. Narayan is also Krishna. He's just Krishna in a different form. Why it says Krishna here, I don't know. But our general understanding from understanding Prahlad Maharaj's rasa is that he's not in any of the Goloka Vrindavan rasas. Therefore, we can understand that he's probably in the situated in some Vaikuntha planet. Is that right? Do you have any other information? Anything else? Yes. By suitable practice and by detachment. Yes. Happy everywhere. And also, in one sense, he sees Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. He sees everything's perfectly done by Krishna. Everything is perfectly being done. Well, he sees happiness everywhere. Ultimately, he sees that not everyone is happy everywhere. No. But he sees happiness everywhere in the sense that everything being done by Krishna ultimately produce, you know, is, or everything that Krishna does is good. Todos que Krishna hace es bueno. No, atmo pamyena sarvatra sampashti arjuna. To come by the Yadu comes the Yogi Paramomataha. He is a true Yogi Arjuna. He sees the true quality of all living entities, both in their happiness and distress. He sees that Krishna is trying, by when the soul is suffering, when the living entity is suffering, he sees Krishna is trying to wake them up. When he sees the soul is actually following Krishna's instruction, then he sees that he's very happy, that the soul is becoming happy because Krishna is waking him up. So everywhere he sees simply the soul relating to Krishna, either trying to wake him up and therefore produce real happiness, or he's actually on the process by which he will wake up. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Yes, one more. Understand everything, even Vishnudeva, when he thought about how the Pandavas were so pious, and yet they were put into so much difficulty, he had tears in his eyes. He couldn't understand it. So what to speak of ourselves? What is our, you know, intellectual capacity to understand the laws of karma? Well, we should just take shelter of Krishna. Even if we can't understand it, just because it doesn't really matter. We should understand simply that when we're put into a pleasant situation, then Krishna is very kind to us, trying to encourage us and, could say, facilitate, they say, our devotional service. And we're put into difficulty, we should just understand that I'm just suffering the results of my past activities, and Krishna is minimizing it so that I can take shelter of him more. That's all we really have to understand. Exactly where it's coming from, it doesn't really matter. You're in the middle of the ocean drowning. You forgot how you got there. A boat comes to take you out of the ocean. And you say, wait a second, I don't want to go out of the ocean yet. I want to first figure out how I got here. And then you can save me. No, better get into the boat and then try and figure it out. Okay, thank you very much. Granthirai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.